May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. In the great green room, there was a telephone and a red balloon and a picture of a cow jumping over the moon. And there were three little bears sitting on chairs and two little kittens and a pair of mittens and a little toy house and a young mouse and a comb and a brush and a bowl full of mush and a quiet old lady who was whispering, "Hush." Good night, room. Good night, moon. What's a story that you can recite by heart? Is it one your mother read to you? Is it one you read to your children? Is it a favorite you read to your classroom every year? Or maybe it's a movie you've watched 100 times. There's just something about a familiar story. Children especially love to hear the same story again and again. This is a safe place. Raise your hand if you have ever hidden a book so that you didn't have to say, I think I can, one more time today. They say that children like to hear the same story again and again because that predictability is comforting. They feel in control, already knowing what comes next. They can count on the next page being the same each time, and in fact, if you read it wrong, they're going to be sure to let you know. That's not how Dad reads it. We tell stories here at church 52 weeks a year. We read the scriptures and we think about how these ancient stories still speak to us today, how they call us to ways of being in the world that align with God's kingdom values. But I've noticed something over the years, and that is that by a wide margin, people tend to turn out to hear two particular stories, the Easter story and the Christmas story. Now, if you're one of those who only turns up on these two holy days, please don't think I'm picking on you. In fact, you're necessary for the point I'm trying to make. There's just something about this story. Something about the Christmas story draws people, more people than usual, into the church to hear it. When it's David and Goliath, or Daniel in the lion's den, or the feeding of the 5,000, or Paul and Silas in jail, only some are drawn to our doors. But when it's time to tell the story of Jesus' birth, we have to hold two services, and even then sometimes we run out of bulletins. There's something about this story. Now, there may be exceptions, but I imagine virtually everyone here has heard this story before, whether it's from your parents, from the church, or even from the Charlie Brown Christmas special. Some even know parts of it by heart. And yet, you're here. Why are you here tonight? Because there's just something about this story. There's something about God coming to humankind in the most outrageous of ways, as a baby born to a virgin teenager. There's just something about Mary and Joseph, who both receive this shocking news in faith that God is making good on promises in and through them. They make us wonder, would we receive such news in faith if it were us? Would we trust that nothing is impossible with God? And there's something about the shepherds. These guys are just doing their nightly work, work they've done every day of their lives for years, and work they'll go back to doing again tomorrow. But on this night, they are interrupted by the good news that God is doing something special over in Bethlehem. And they make us wonder if God could interrupt our everyday work like that too. And would we hurry off to follow instructions? Would we return to our work the next day? return to our fields rejoicing? There's something about the wise men who see something strange in the stars and take off on the most impractical journey. They bring gifts for a foreign king, but instead find a king for all people, a baby to whom they offer their gifts. And we wonder, would we have the courage not to return to Herod, but to go home instead by another road? And there's something about the way that John's gospel tells the reader about the incarnation. He reports no holy family, no baby, no shepherds, no wise men or angels. He simply tells us, in the beginning was the Word. What a tremendous thing to say. That the one born in Bethlehem was, as the Son of God, present from the very beginning, long before the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. What hope that gives to us when the world seems dark. There's not enough dark to overcome the light of Christ. It's a great story. It's not the only great story in Scripture. And if you are one of those who typically stops in for the church's two greatest hits, so to speak, I encourage you to consider joining us as you're able throughout the year. We'd love to have you. But I don't blame you for coming for tonight's story. It's one of my favorites, too. So, we're going to tell it to you again. We will read the story, sing the carols, and light the candles once more. And I hope that you will be comforted by the story's familiarity, as well as its message. Friends, God has not left us alone. When the world is dark, we remember that God came in the most extraordinary way to us. And we trust that today, God still comes to us. God still comes for us. We trust that Jesus is still God with us, Emmanuel. So sit back, relax, close your eyes if you wish, and listen again as we hear the Christmas story. We'll gladly read it to you year after year until you know it by heart. Thanks be to God. Amen.